Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of
A BJJ Marriage, where we talk about our lives as a married jiu-jitsu couple.
Jiu-jitsu with the squad.
Is that the song?
Yeah.
Is that an actual song?
It's like I think it is an actual song, but it's been popularized on Reels and TikTok, I believe.
Okay.
Which is cool, though, because I think it's a remix of another song.
When I was listening to the video, I didn't expect there to be sound. I thought it was just going to be the actual video of us rolling, and it ended up talking about jiu-jitsu in a rap. And I was like, oh, this is different. I didn't know this existed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of BJJ Marriage with your hosts, Nick and Brittany Lee.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
To another episode. I'm double fisting.
Episode 69 today. So.
Double fisting the 69.
Yes.
Hmm.
But we.
I'm sorry. That derailed pretty quickly.
Jose, I'm sorry. I know you wanted to be on this week's episode, but next time.
Next.
Yeah. 169.
You'll be on 169.
Yeah. Anyway. So, sorry, we did miss last week. We have not been slacking, I promise. We've been slacking in the podcasting, but we're not just sitting on our couch doing nothing. So
we are couch potatoes now.
We are very... The summer has just been absolutely insane and wild for us. We have been nonstop going, nonstop moving. I feel like I have four people in my queue, is what I'm going to call it, saying that we need to get together soon, all within the last like couple days. And I'm like, October. I can fit you in October.
Yes. So it's bunch of wedding crazy stuff, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
It's and been like fun. Family vacation stuff. All good things.
Yes.
And we do train here and there when we're out of town and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But we're also still trying to keep our training schedule very consistent because that's obviously a huge part of our lives. So our typical gym schedule is Tuesday through Saturdays, but we've been doing a lot of stuff on the weekends. So we have been out and about on Saturdays, which means we're also out and about on Sundays, which is the day we record. And
last week we went to Ohio to Cedar Point and did roller coasters with our family and friends.
Yeah, that was very fun. That was not a jiu-jitsu trip, so it was a little weird because normally we travel for training at this point.
Yes.
Or competitions.
Yeah, it was weird to pack and not bring a gi.
Yeah.
And I didn't even bring a rash guard. I was like, this just feels wrong.
Yep. Because even when we do travel,
we go somewhere.
Yeah, we typically go train somewhere. But
because next weekend, we're going to Green Bay for Bachelor Bachelorette weekend. Both of us. And we're bringing jiu-jitsu stuff because we're going to find somewhere to train in Green Bay.
Yeah, either Friday night or Saturday morning is our plan. So that'll be fun. We're just going to go pop in somewhere, whether it's a class or an open mat. We don't know yet. We'll have to do some research. But
hopefully it's no-gi so they don't see what rank we are. We can have a good time.
If anyone who's listening to this week, if you actually do know any schools in the Green Bay area, please let us know. We don't know anything about Green Bay.
Yeah, Josh said he has some connection.
Okay.
So I will ask him also.
Cool. But if you know anyone, if you're listening, let me know if you have a school, if you have Friday night classes or Saturday morning. That would be super cool.
Yeah.
Because we're going to try to pop in if we can.
Yes. So. Absolutely. But yeah,
so next week, we're probably going to not do another episode because we're going to be in Green Bay, unless we do it Sunday night, like we're doing right now, because it's Sunday night right now.
I'll probably be drunk for a whole weekend, maybe. Who knows? Damien, the only thing Damien requested for his bachelor party is, I think, in his own words, guns, tits, and whiskey.
Yep. Yep.
So, we got to keep one of those flowing at all times.
Yep.
Easiest to keep going is the whiskey.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a fun weekend next weekend. We're very excited. The Cedar Point trip was super fun, too. So, we've been having a good time. And then this weekend, we actually had a really fun weekend, too. We were home, and we did a seminar with a black belt from Colorado.
Yes.
His name is Tim Gillette, and he is a black belt under... Well, it's not actually Eddie Bravo, but...
He trained with Eddie Bravo up through purple.
Yep.
And then he was promoted to black belt from, I can't remember who it was, fourth stripe black belt under the Machados.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got his black belt under that, like, affiliate, basically. Yeah,
which Eddie Bravo's under the Machados anyways.
Yeah. And then he was training most of his life in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then it wasn't until 2016 that his wife was able to get a job in Colorado And then they up and move their life down there. And now now he owns and runs a school called Morningstar.
Morningstar Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes, which we've been to, actually. That's actually how we know him. Mm-hmm. It's because we visited his school when we were in Denver in 2020.
Yeah. And so, now he came up here. And we're going back there in October.
Yes.
Which is super exciting. It's a fun school. And we're going to Denver to teach a seminar with Brenton.
Yes.
Which would be a great time.
And Brenton is our professor, also my dad, his father-in-law. Mm-hmm. This is, if you haven't been keeping up with all the other ones.
So, Tim's seminar, it was a no-gi seminar, and he uses this guard called the empty half guard. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember, he had a story about why he started playing with it, but he saw, I can't remember who, sweep Andre Galvao 3 times in a row with the empty half guard in some sort of jiu-jitsu match.
Yep.
Somewhere at some time.
But it was 3 times in one match. And yes. So he was just like, well, I need to learn that.
Yes. And so he's devoted a lot of time to the empty half guard, which it's really cool because your leg there, okay, when you're like faced away from them, it's something you have to see, but their leg is like wrapped up in both of your hooks. So it's in your legs, but it's actually not in between your legs. It's just your hooks. And it works really well with butterfly guard, X guard, and all the other hooky things in no-gi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun guard. It's actually like especially fun for me because I've taken a seminar from Tim before. So this was actually our 3rd time with Tim. So the first time we met him in Denver at his school, Morningstar. And then the 2nd time, he was actually here in Wisconsin in February because he was at that Gentle Art Lifestyle Camp.
Mm-hmm. Which we got another one coming up September.
Yep. So he taught, he actually came and he taught the empty half guard in February. Mm-hmm. And so I have been using it a bit in my game. But, I mean, that was kind of a while ago. That was 6 months ago now. And I definitely lost some bits and pieces of it. And it wasn't, like, super fine-tuned in my brain. It was just kind of like, oh, I get here a lot.
This exists.
But I never, like, put 2 and 2 together that I was doing empty half guard sloppily. But I think it was just one of those things that, like, I've seen this before, but I don't really know what I'm doing from here type of thing. So, like, seeing the same seminar 6 months later was actually super helpful. Yeah. Because I was finding, like, that's probably why I get there all the time. Because you remember, I even just told you this like 3 weeks ago. I was like, I get in that position a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's where like you're almost in side control, but they turn you up to your side away, facing away from them. So your back is exposed and you're just in a lot of trouble. And I get there often, but every time I get there, I don't feel super, super threatened until they start moving. When they start moving is when I have to start defending based on what they're doing. But I find myself in that position where I'm like turned up on my side facing away from them quite a bit, and I think in my brain I was using the stick most of the time when I'm there, but I think I was also trying to use empty half guard, but I was not using it like well
intelligently.
Yes,
you're just like flailing for hooks.
Yeah, like it's one of those things that was so deep inside my memory that I was just like, I don't really remember what I'm doing from here, but I'm gonna keep trying to play with this. So seeing it yesterday was very cool, and I'm excited to continue
keep playing with it. Yeah. Yep. So we went over that for 2 hours, a few sweeps, a few things to do, and a few like transitions into other positions, which was super, super fun. We did some rolling with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to kick my butt.
Yeah. It was super fun though. So he was able to show us all some really cool stuff, and we rolled a little bit after the seminar, but then he's obviously not from Milwaukee, so we took him around and we did some things in Milwaukee, some random things that you would send any tourist person to.
Yes.
Just to get him out and exposed, but the weather kind of went
Yeah, the weather was terrible. So then we just watched Marvel movies all night.
Yeah.
We didn't want to go, and spend money at bars for no reason.
Yeah, we talked to him about possibly doing this episode with us, and he was down for it, but just with the weather and having the seminar that day, and it ended up being a long day, so we decided not to record and just chill, and we literally watched 2.5 Marvel movies instead.
It was awesome.
We watched Deadpool, because I know a lot of you listening are probably Marvel people. So we watched Deadpool first.
Who isn't a Marvel person? There's something wrong with you.
Nick and I right now, we're actually going through the Marvel series together. So we started in January, and it was kind of my goal that I wanted to watch at least two a month. So
yeah, because she hasn't seen all the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff.
Yeah, I've only seen like the newer stuff, like probably Phase 4 stuff, because it all came out in the theaters, and he was like, let's go see it. And I'm like, okay. So, but every time I saw it, I'd be like, there's so much backstory, and I have no idea what's going on, but this is so good. So I was like, we gotta watch them all. So now
she hates watching movies. That's the funny part.
Yeah. I was even falling asleep last night.
Yeah, you did. Multiple times. Hey.
I fell asleep multiple times. But it was only for like 30 seconds at a time, and then I'd wake back up, and then I'd be up for 10 minutes, and then fall asleep for 30, and then I'd be up for 10. But, yeah, so we've been watching all the Marvel movies, and we were about a little over an hour into Doctor Strange when we had turned it off. And so we finished Doctor Strange after Deadpool. And then after Doctor Strange, the movie that comes after that is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Volume 2, which is funny because it talks all about ego.
Yeah.
Which is something that gets killed in Jiu-Jitsu right away.
Yeah. Yeah, so hung out with a couple people from the gym and Tim. And we just, like I said, watched 2.5 Marvel movies. And that was about it.
Yeah, but then today we did open mat at the beach.
Yes,
which I rolled for 3 hours straight, forgot to eat, and then we had to leave. That was basically the whole story of the day.
Basically. But no, that was fun. We have a bunch of empty mats like this up in our attic, getting ready for Fluid 2 at some point in the future. And so we brought just a bunch of those mats. We probably had like 40 that we had brought with us, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And we were able to get like 12 people on the mats at once, which was super cool. So it was big enough.
Half of the mats were red, half of the mats were black. The black mats were extremely hot. It was like, oh my God. We had to pull it into the shade.
Yes. But it was fun. It was, we set up the mats on the beach and everyone brought some food for the grill and we just hung out. I went in the water, which Lake Michigan is freezing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's mid-July, it is freezing right now.
Tim and I went over leg locks, and then he showed me some of his favorite X-Guard sweeps.
Nice.
Because no one at our gym does X-Guard except for me, actually.
No one? I'm sure there's people that do.
Like who?
I don't know, but I'm sure there's people that do.
Brent says he doesn't like it.
120 people, I'm sure someone else does it besides you.
Dave does it.
Yeah, exactly. There's one.
Yeah, but he's not teaching me X-Guard.
I guess. We don't really do a whole lot of leg locks in our gym very much. Like, we touch on it. We teach it in a class or so. But we're definitely not a leg locking school, I would say. And it's good to know, and it's good things to drill and learn and be aware of. But we're definitely not a leg locking school. We're not known for it.
Ow.
What is your problem?
I don't know. My ankle just locked up.
Well, probably because you rolled for 3 hours today and didn't stop.
No, it's fine. I'll be okay.
But, yeah, we had a really fun day. We got some good rolls in. I rolled four. I was trying to roll. I only did, like, 3 rounds, and then I went and drank a whole bottle of water. And then I did 3 more rounds, and then I drank another whole bottle of water. And then,
good for
then
you.
I did 3 more rounds, and I did another whole bottle of water, and then I was done because it was really hot, and that was enough for me.
I rolled until I heard Tim say, oh, I gotta leave in 15 minutes. I was like, what? And then I was like, I gotta eat something. I didn't eat yet today.
Yeah.
And then I packed up the car.
But it was cool to roll in a different environment outside of your gym and your four walls.
Yeah, we picked a grassy area so we didn't have to worry about sand much. Oh, I inhaled a bug while rolling and coughed for about a minute while someone was trying to rear naked choke me.
I think one of the funniest things that happened today was we're at a beach, so it's a public area. And obviously people are kind of looking at us like we're crazy because we're just rolling around and there's so many cars that drove past. So they were like, what are they doing? And there's this little chubby, like 7-year-old kid, probably not even that old. He was probably like 5, but he was like the chubby little thing. And he just came like waddling.
I don't think he spoke
over.
English.
No.
Only Spanish.
Yep. He came waddling over from his family, like pretty far away too. They were not the family next to us, like they were pretty decently
10 to 15 car lengths away.
And this kid comes up, and I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably train. If you train, you probably know you don't go on the mat with shoes. You go on the
He didn't have shoes on either.
Well, listen, okay. And then you go into the bathroom with shoes on because, you know, feet are gross, So this little kid comes out of nowhere, and we don't know where he's been, what he's been stepping in, what he's been doing. And immediately I see him walking. I'm like, oh boy, this kid's going to jump on the mat. And no parent is running after him. And I was like, oh my God, like, buddy, you can't come on the mat. You can't do it. And everyone is like, no, like, stay away, because like, you don't want this child on the mat. And then no one's coming after him. And literally my dad was like, should I go push him?
And so, then he came over and then picked him up under the armpits, held him up in the air like, whose child is this?
And then he
take him.
He said to the family, he was like, you got to come get your kid, bro.
Yeah.
And the kid was just not moving. He was not having it. Like, he was basically a dog, like, when they don't want to go for a walk anymore and they just stop and, like, they get really, really solid.
And he started, like, whining.
Yeah. And then he started screaming. And my dad literally just, like, picked him up and, like, tried to get him off the mat. And this kid was freaking out. And we were like, you got to get off the mat. And then finally his dad came and got him. And I don't think they spoke English, but still, I was just like, well, we're not going to go in that area because I don't know where his feet have been. He probably stepped in so much goose poop and all the sand and all that. And it was super funny, though.
Yeah, it was.
And then Tim and I were just laughing so hard. So we're like, you got to come get your kid, bro.
Come on, bro. Yeah, your dad's not a bro type of guy. So pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And the kid did not do jujitsu.
No, absolutely not.
He just wanted to stand on the mat for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird. But yeah, jiu-jitsu at the beach was super fun.
So if you've never, like, really trained outside before, it's definitely different. The heat is a little bit more extreme, and you have the sun beating on you, and especially if you're on black mats, that's a lot.
I got some sunburn.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim, he was leaving, we were taking him to the airport, and he was looking in the mirror, and he's like, oh, I thought that was mat burn, it's apparently sunburn.
Yeah, I could feel it on my forehead in the shower, and I was wondering, is this mat burn or sunburn? I am unsure.
So wear sunscreen, friends.
Yeah, but can you imagine sunscreen on the mat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross. But, so yeah, that was our fun day today, and then took him to the airport, and now we're here. But... yeah, I would say that the Empty Half Guard, I know that there is a BJJ Fanatics on Empty Half Guard if you're interested. It's not from Tim, unfortunately. He said the guy beat him to it and he was upset, but it's still, it's a great thing to learn and be aware of because it's
there more are some like, videos on YouTube about it.
Okay. So yeah, you should look it up because it's really cool. And I know that someone had asked him in the seminar yesterday if it was like his go-to guard, and Tim was like, no. It's not. It's more of like a position that you work once you're in trouble. Like once you get to that spot that I said I get to a lot, that's when you have to get out of it. And so that's how he uses the guard to get out of
it. It's like late stage guard retention, guard sweeping backwards butterfly.
Yeah. It's not like him just being like... That's a lot of adjectives. It's not just him being like, I'm going to go here and turn my back to you.
No.
Most people don't like to do that.
Yeah.
Unless you're cocky as hell.
Yeah. My favorite thing that he showed was... because normally when I do the empty half, both my arms are on the same side. But he said keep the frame and keep the underhook. Because that way they can't turn out and take it back.
Okay.
I was like, that makes a lot of sense. This has been my major issue with this.
But yeah, so from the empty half guard, you basically have one of their legs entangled inside of your two hooks. With your back turned to them. And then you just have to manipulate that leg to manipulate their hips in order to do what you want.
Yeah.
So he taught
a... to lift and roll.
Yep. He taught a bunch of different... so he taught an escape from there. But then he also taught mostly how to do sweeps, which was super cool. He taught like 6 sweeps, I think. And they were all very good, very fun. He even taught what to do when they fail, which is, I think, one of the best things that a seminar can teach you. Is how to do something when it fails.
Yeah, the troubleshooting on the main issues that arise.
Yeah, because I would say that the way a seminar is structured is they have this... like either move or concept that they come in with, and then they just have to broaden your horizon on it. It's like you've seen this, but you've probably never seen the way that I'm going to teach it type of thing. And they like to come in and they like to say, like, we need to get here. Once you can get this fundamental movement down, then we can start expanding on it. But until you know how to do this, you're not going to be able to do the rest of this seminar. So the last couple, even Joey Deal's leg lock seminar, he taught how to enter into the leg lock, like enter in the position. Tim said, how to enter in the position. Mm-hmm. Everyone who teaches, they just teach you how to enter it. Because if you don't know how to enter it, then you might as well just stop there because you can't finish anything else that they want to show you.
You'll never get further in the chain.
Yeah. So you got to learn how to enter it and then you can start moving and start doing things. So, but as we all know, as we all train, you definitely don't succeed in everything that you try. So what? It's just really cool when people who are teaching seminars like to expand off of that and just be like, okay, well, what if you try it this way and they don't go that way?
Yeah, or what if people start realizing that's what you're doing and, you know, start to defend it at an early stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then...
And he gave good options.
Yes, he gave lots of good sweeps
from He's a great teacher. If you're ever in Denver, mm-hmm. go to Morningstar.
Yeah, he breaks things down very well. He never makes you feel like you're beneath him or anything, which... It's not super common, but it is out there. Some people definitely like to let you know that they're a black belt and you're not type of thing. But he's very, like, he treats you as an equal. He's very, very humble dude all around.
Easygoing. Yes. Fun to roll with. Rolls at your pace.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
He was very cool.
He probably could have murdered me, but we were doing some really fun technical rolls, which is great. Yeah. Which is what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I was telling Nick, I'm like, I didn't feel like a blue belt rolling with him. I was like, I was wondering in his brain if he just thought I was not a blue belt the whole time. Because I felt like a first day white belt rolling with him.
Yeah.
But.
It's another great thing about rolling with experienced people from other gyms. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same style as us.
Exactly.
Yeah. But today's topic is about maximizing the time you're spending on mats. And I think it was a great thing that Tim said yesterday that he got from Eddie Bravo. Were you listening to that part?
I was, yep.
I don't know if that was today or yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
I can't remember what day is what ever. I think ever.
It was.
But he said that Eddie Bravo told him that in general, a hobbyist practitioner might train for like 3 hours a week, mm-hmm. right? And that they're spending about 3 hours or so of training on the mats a week. And give or take a few weeks to the year, it's on average like 50 weeks a year. So you're spending about 150 hours on the mats. And how are you spending that time? Are you working towards something? Are you just showing up? Are you, you know, hanging out, playing around? Or is there any sort of goal or any reason or rhyme for your training? Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing to think about. Like, if you took the last month of your jiu-jitsu, has there been any milestones you've been working towards? Or what have you been focusing on? And what kind of goals do you have with different levels of practitioners? You know?
Yeah, because I would say that especially the black belts, like, they all have something that they specialize in. They all have, like, they're one thing that's just their thing, and you know it's their thing, and you know no matter what you do, you're not going to really be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. So it's either, I feel like you're one of two people. You're either going to put yourself there so you can see how it feels and how you can get out of it, or you're just going to try to avoid it altogether because you know you're going to be stuck type of thing. And I'm one of those people that I like to avoid it altogether. Oh, okay. I like to just be like, I know you're going to keep me there, so I'm going to try to not get there type of thing.
Yeah, but I feel that from you.
Really?
Yeah, you try to get away from stuff.
Yes.
And I'll bring you back in. Like, I don't want you to get away.
Yeah. No, I'm a big scrambler, so
yeah.
Don't hold me there. But, like, I know that Tim is a good and, like, he just practices leg locks a lot. And I'm a big standing passer, a standing guard passer. And I know that's how you get entangled in legs a lot. So there's quite a few times that I would stand up and then he would instantly go for like hooks on one leg. I'm like, I'm going to sit back down now.
Yes.
And that happened to me multiple times. But I was trying to pass his guard and I just kept getting the hooks. And I felt like it didn't matter what I do. They were just kind of creeping up and going everywhere. No matter where my legs went, his hook was there with me. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But
I felt like a master hooker.
Yeah. Yep. I felt like that was kind of his thing. But I think what I was trying to get out of it is because my dad is not a huge guard player. He definitely has a fantastic guard, like, obviously, but he doesn't really play guard too much. He's more so like, I'm going to let you pass my guard so we can move on to other positions. So mm-hmm. when I roll with black belts specifically, I actually try to go in their guard a lot because I like to see what it feels like. And I like to see the differences. So, like, Tim's guard is way different than when I was rolling with Joe Benson. Joe Benson's guard was very different, too. And
that's another black belt.
Yep. From Neutral Ground. And I remember even telling Joe Benson, I was like, I'm not used to black belts using their guard on me. And he's just like, oh, yeah, your dad and I are way different.
Yes. So when you're rolling with higher people, are you focusing on, what are you focusing on? Higher ranked or higher skilled people? Rank doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You can tell if people are higher skilled.
Yep. So I was actually thinking about this today, and I don't think I've really put too much thought into it until today, but when I roll with black belts, I know it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to either get smashed or submitted. Like, it just doesn't matter. Black belts just can toy with me, yeah. Which is expected at my rank. Like, I'm not supposed to be able to do anything to them. If I do, it's because they let me. Sure. And I know that. So when I'm with black belts, I like to move not cautiously, but very flowy, because I like to really pay attention to what they're doing, how mm-hmm. they're grabbing me, what they're doing with their hooks, what they're doing with their hands and their grips, and I like to see where their eyes are moving. Like, I'm constantly paying attention to what...
You use your eyes? I close my eyes when I roll.
Really?
Most time.
Yeah. No, I look a lot at what they're doing. Most of the time, I'm looking at their legs, though. I'm always trying to see what they're doing with their legs when I'm rolling with a black belt.
Okay.
So unless it's my dad.
So you're observing
yeah.
when you're rolling with higher skilled people.
Yes.
Or is it only black belts? Or
I would say it's probably only black belts.
Only black belts? Because yeah. you like are expecting to have no chance?
Right. And so I know I have no chance. So I'm like, okay, why am I not going to have a chance here? And there's like, I don't even remember what the move was at this point, but I was rolling with Tim today, and he did something to me, and I was like, okay, that sucked. And then...
That's not good for me.
And then about 30 seconds later, the same thing happened. And I was like, what am I doing?
Yes.
So I'm just constantly trying to observe and think about it that way.
Yeah.
What do you do when you roll with black belts?
When I roll with black belts, I immediately roll lighter than I would with anybody blue to brown. Mm-hmm. And the reason I roll lighter with black belts right away is because I don't want them to think that I'm, like, trying to kill them. You know, not saying that I... am a black belt slayer or anything like that, but I don't want, because a lot of black belts like don't want to roll with people who are just trying to kill them all the time, because mm-hmm. a black belt, if you think a blue belt is a target on your back, that black belt is like a mega target, mm-hmm. because
people everyone wants to test themselves against
exactly
them.
They want mm-hmm. I want to tap out this black belt mm-hmm. So I try to do like technical rolling with black belts,
yeah,
because that's also where I'm going to learn the best technique for jiu-jitsu against jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. That's actually where I was trying to get my brain to go. And what I was thinking about today was, because I know I don't stand a chance against a black belt, I never try to test myself. I never try to test my own jiu-jitsu against a black belt, because yeah. it's just going to get shut down. I know it will. But yep. I do always, always, always test my jiu-jitsu on a purple belt. Always. Yeah. I roll harder with purple belts than I do with anyone else.
Yeah, my toe is still feeling it.
Oh my goodness, you're fine.
I don't know if you know that. My toe is still very sore. When you grabbed my one big toe and was like, ripped off my one toe. It's a toe hold, right, Nick? Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll survive, I think.
Nick doesn't like toe holds, so I went for his toe, but he squirmed, which made me only grab his big toe, and I still went for a toe hold, even though I only had the single digit, and I felt really bad. But
you see the smile on her face? That's how she rolls real hard with purple belts, she says.
I think I tapped you.
Yeah, I didn't want you to rip my toe out of my...
I know.
Okay.
I would have gotten DQ'd in a competition. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Tap's a tap. I'm just kidding.
Yep. But it's all good.
I do. I roll a lot harder with purple belts than I do any other belt, because white belts, I should take that back, because I roll really, really hard with white belt nails too.
But that's different.
Yes.
That's for a different reason, which we'll get to.
Yes. But I roll really, really hard with purple belts because I know that they know jiu-jitsu well enough that they'll still shut me down on everything I'm doing, but I can at least like have a fighting chance of why I'm getting shut down rather than it just being like magic, you're done. Type of thing.
Okay.
And I feel like I can actually keep up a little bit better with the purple belts. Whereas, like, when I'm rolling with a blue belt, another blue belt, I mean, I still go a decent amount. Depends on who I'm going with and size and things like that. But typically blue belt females, I also roll with them the same way that I roll with black belts, actually. Which I think is weird.
That is weird.
Like, blue belt females, specifically. Blue belt males, I guess, I go a little harder with. But, like, blue belt females, I roll with them the same way that I do with black belts, because I'm also analyzing what they're doing. Because I want to know, am I doing the same stuff? Am I more advanced? Am I less advanced? I want to know what you're doing compared to what I'm doing and why we're both the same rank.
Yeah, so like, technical rolling again?
Yeah, like, there's a girl from Rufus Sport. Shout out Jessica. She's one of my favorite rolling partners because we're basically the same size. We're both one-stripe blue belts, and we just have phenomenal rolls together. Mm-hmm. But we always go very, very light. Like, neither of us are ever trying to kill each other. I think we're both trying to hide what we actually have because we know we're going to have to face each other in competition at some point. But, yeah. Sure. The girls my rank, I always try to go a little lighter with just so, one, I don't show my cards in case I have to face them. And two, just because they're fun to roll with.
I show my cards all the time. I let people know. I like to loop choke.
You know, that was actually like, that was a conversation I had with my dad when I first got my blue belt. And I went to a women's open mat and I rolled with a girl, another blue belt female from a different school. And I remember I was just passing her guard like butter. Like, it was just so easy for me to just pass her guard. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I have to face her, like, this will be easy. I'll gain my points, no problem. Like, I wasn't even worried about the submission. I was like, I'll be so up in points because I'll just keep passing her guard. And I was really excited about it because I had just gotten my blue belt. So I was like, oh, okay, like, I'm keeping up pretty well with the blue belt females already. Like, this is really cool. And I was telling my dad about that and, like, how excited I was. And he was just like, you don't know how slow she was going, though. He told me, he was like, if she's an active competitor, she may have been trying to see what you were doing, and now you just showed her your card saying that you're good at passing guard on that level, and now if you ever face her in a competition, she's probably not going to let you pass her guard, because now she knows that you can do it, type of thing. And I was just like, and that, it just resonated with me so much, and I think that's why I roll with blue belt females now,
the way so that I do. You're guarded with what you do.
Yeah, and I'm like, you're right, I shouldn't show my cards.
Eh. Just be good enough that they can't stop it anyway. That's my philosophy. Right. That's why I submitted the people with the same thing in the same competition.
Yeah. And I mean, once you find what you're good at, it's obviously there and you can keep getting better at it. But I don't know. I think I'm just in that mentality now that if I roll with another blue belt female, I'm going to go slow and light and technical and playful and fun because I don't want to show what I would do in a competition.
All right. That's fine. I don't roll competition mode with anybody unless I'm competing very soon and I'm doing competition prep.
Yeah.
But, yeah, black belts I like to roll very technical with. Mm-hmm. The only people I don't roll super technical with as black belts is, like, your dad, because he taught me everything I knew anyways, and he just... And I try to do the same things he taught me, and it doesn't work, but I'll go a bit harder with him. He's also someone I can roll with at a high intensity to help me get my jujitsu better at a higher intensity. Mm-hmm. And then also, any black belt that I train with on a regular basis, I will roll harder with because it's like a regular training partner, not somebody I'm just meeting and rolling with and trying to learn from.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that you roll differently with black belts than you do with people your own rank?
Yeah, so that's what I was getting to next. People similar rank, I would say, are, so I'm a purple belt, so similar rank to me is like blue to brown, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some people that are at the end of blue that are close to purple, there's some people that are newly brown that are close to purple. So, I think that the two belts around you are your peers, right? And those people, I roll with probably the hardest. Not that I roll hard, because I'm always trying to roll playful in general. But what I do with those people is I work towards a specific move set that I'm working on. So, like, some days it'll be, oh, I want to work the back. Recently, I've been working different types of guards outside of butterfly guard. Different types of sweeps that I'm working towards. Mm-hmm. Connecting positions together and fine-tuning the jiu-jitsu that I would use in a competition, but at a playful intensity. So that way, if I need to amp it up with any sort of strength or athleticism, I can always funnel that into the technique that I already have. But that's where I play around most, is from blue to brown and purple, obviously, and see what works, see what doesn't work, and try to sharpen up my game, my actual game.
Yeah, I think that that's smart. Because I probably feel the same way, but with white to purple, which is why I said purple is like probably my favorite belt to roll with, just because I can go at that hard intensity. Mm-hmm. And then white belts, I mean, I was a white belt not that long ago. I was a white belt just in November. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm that far removed from it.
Hey, that was over half a year ago.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's wild.
Yes.
I need to compete soon.
But yeah, you're telling me.
But yeah, rolling between white belts to purple belts have always been really fun for me, where I know that brown belts and black belts will just kill me.
Yeah.
Smash me. Mm-hmm. And I always have wondered, so I've been kind of going through this phase in my journey right now that I've been telling Nick about, where I feel like I'm at a point where I'm not retaining anything. And I think it's just due to the fact of, like, everything else going on in my life. We've just had a very busy couple months that I'm like, maybe I just have so much in my brain. And I'm still studying for my FINRA exams. And so I'm just, like, I'm piling all of this stuff inside of my head that I think that retaining new jujitsu moves is just not, like, it's not working very well for me right now. And I feel like this empty half guard, like, yeah, I love it. And then in 2 weeks, I'm probably like, what was the empty half guard? Like, I don't remember type of thing.
That's why you need to have goals for your rolling.
Yeah. I don't think that was a poor example, because I actually do think I'll remember the empty half guard now. Yeah. Because, well, it goes back more to the whole
repetition.
Yeah. I think same with Joey Deal's leg lock entry. Like, I don't remember anything that he showed. I just remember the leg lock entry because we drilled that so much. And same with the empty half guard. Like, we drilled how to get into it so much that once I'm there, I can figure the rest out for myself. But that repetition is what I need. And
sure.
Yeah, just needing, I guess what I was trying to say is that I feel like I'm not retaining much. And so I just need to, you know, I don't even remember where I was going with this. So never mind.
That's where I was saying, pick a goal for your rolling.
There we go.
On a specific day, right?
That's what we were talking about.
So, like, this next week, what is your goal for this next week of rolling? Do you want to sweep better? Do you want to work escapes better? Do you want to make arm bars better?
No.
Not. You want to loop choke people in no-gi like you tried to do today to me? She tried to no-gi bow and arrow me. And I was like, no, thank you.
I would say that honestly, the only thing I've been thinking about for this week is that we're missing Friday and Saturday, and so I cannot miss Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Yeah, so what are you going to do when you're rolling?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
You should pick something. You should have some sort of goal that you're working towards. Because even if it's like, oh, I'm going to work spider guard. Oh, I'm going to work turtle position. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to work empty half guard.
Well, in the gi, I have been working spider. Even today in no gi, I found myself playing spider. And I was like, this isn't working very well. I should move on. But I have been playing, like, specifically only spider for about a month now.
Mm-hmm. So that's been your goal recently?
Yeah.
You can continue that goal, too?
Yeah. I'll probably just continue. In the gi, I'll probably work on spider guard. And then in no gi, I guess, because we don't train no gi very often. So this has always been kind of... It's a bad habit. But I like to try to get into the last cog on a no-gi and then see if I can get out of it with a slip.
That's not a technique. My name is Brittany. I'm going to work on heel slips and destroy my knee. You even know what a heel slip is?
No.
Okay.
It sounds That's fine. Bad, though. But even today, like, I had my arm caught with someone that I was rolling with, and
Real quick, a heel slip is when you're deep in a heel hook and you point your toes and use the sweat and slip your heel out of the heel hook by going into it a little bit and slipping it through before they can finish it.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Very dangerous.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I do that more with arm bars, though. Like, today I was caught in an arm bar and it was tight, and I immediately, like, all I did is I was just, okay, I'm going to twist and then I'm going to pull out really, really fast because I'm a nogi and I'm slippery and I'm sweaty and it worked. And it works a lot. So it's a bad habit. But I like to see, like...
You can do that in some positions. It's fine. Some positions you just destroy your own arm. So hope you don't find those ones.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, in nogi, I really just focus more on how to get grips. Because I obviously, when you don't have a collar to grab onto or a belt to grab onto, it's much harder to get your sweeps. And so I just focus mostly on what am I doing right now, what is the position I'm in, and which grip will help me the most in this spot.
And nogi?
Yeah.
You feel like a nogi white belt?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's fine.
Yep. So I focus a lot on my legs in nogi.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. So.
What are your goals for this week?
For this week, probably, I've been doing a lot of late-stage escapes in general.
See? I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, but I don't use slippage as my escape.
I don't do it in gi. That's just dumb.
Oh, I wonder why. But I've been working on getting into bad positions. But, yeah. Especially when, and this is what I do when I roll with lower ranked people, is I let them advance position and put me into submissions. And then I work like really late stage escapes on the people that have a hard time finishing stuff anyways.
Okay.
Because then I have more success at it and I can figure out which way is helping me and which way if I move, if it gets like sunk in deeper. Mm-hmm. And then I have the time where if I sink in a move deeper, they're not going to immediately finish it. Whereas if I sink in a move deeper on a brown belt, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and
that's
I think
what I do with lower ranked people.
I think I told you that too. Like if I'm rolling with you, Dave, or Ellie, all who are purple belts, Dave is very close to his brown belt. I can't. Normally what I do is if I'm caught in a place where I'm about to get tapped, typically I'll just kind of hold it out there. Like if it's not there and I'm not like going to tap yet because it's just not sunk in or like it's not on the right fulcrum or something, I'm just like, I'm just gonna chill here because they'll let go or they'll adjust or something. And I've learned for white belts that works. If I just hold it out, because then they'll move and then I'm like, okay, I'm free. But Dave, Ellie, and Nick, I can't do that because they'll finish it.
Yeah,
they'll adjust.
If you stop moving, I'll adjust the right way.
They'll micro-adjust to the point where I'm submitted. So I have now learned that
I'm glad you learned that lesson.
Yeah.
That's very important. Never stop moving, by the way, if you're listening to this.
Yeah. Basically, if I'm caught in a rear naked choke and it's like almost there, but I'm not, it's not like really choking. I'm just like, okay, they're going to let go soon. Like, I'll just move as soon as I feel that space. But Nick, Dave, and Ellie don't let go. They just move.
Yeah. We'll just finish it. Surprise. We actually know jujitsu a little bit.
It's like, you think you're safe. Oh, now you're tapped.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I've done differently of learning how I roll with different people, different ranks. Because it doesn't really just come down to the rank, right? Like, it comes down to the person and the technique and the background that they've had as well.
The size of the person.
Because obviously, if you get this college wrestler who comes in as a white belt, they're, like, pretty equivalent to a blue belt at that point. Like, they just are lacking the technique, but they have the pressure. They have the movement.
They have the balance.
The balance, the base. Skill. Yeah, they just need to learn the fine techniques at that point at their white belt level before mm-hmm. they can get to blue. So rolling with a wrestler is so much different than rolling with a girl who's just there for self-defense.
Yeah.
And it's so different than rolling with a 140-pound brown belt than it is with rolling with a 230-pound black belt. Like, yeah. it's so different depending on who you're rolling with.
Mm-hmm. How do you roll with brand new white belts?
It depends on their size, again. Like, it really does for me. If it's...
Okay, what if they are smaller than you?
I do go pretty light if they're smaller than me.
What do you do with them, though?
What I've been working on a lot right now, and I've been really playing around with a sweep from bottom mount. So pretty much I just try to put myself in bottom mount on white belts, and I play around with getting
that's called their a reversal,
hips.
Not a sweep.
Fine.
No points for that move. Not a sweep.
Really?
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I guess, to get out of mountains. It's just an escape. It's not a sweep. Mm-hmm. But, no, I like to, my favorite position to get out of, and not all the girls are actually starting to learn it, because I've taught them a few times, and they all really, really like it. But if you get in bottom out, and then you bridge up, and you grab the cup of their hips, so you can't be on the outside, and you can't
That's called the kipping escape.
Kipping? That's what it's called?
Yep.
Okay. Because
you kip them up with your hips, and then you frame.
Okay. So yeah, you frame on their hips, and then you pick them up, basically, and it's like you're holding their skeleton, not their body weight. And then you can either toss them over you, toss them to the side, shrimp out underneath, get out from shoulder walking. You can do pretty much whatever you want at that point, because they're above you. Mm-hmm. And so I do that with white belts the most.
Do you know what is even better than that? Hmm. My favorite sweep is that sweep with butterfly half. The same sweep.
I do that too.
So I get an overhook, I have a butterfly half, and then a kip with one arm, and then just up and over my head.
Yep.
I did it to Tim. I do it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that one too. I don't practice that one as much, but.
But anyways.
I don't know. I think it's like one of the coolest
feelings. So you let brand new white belts get them out?
Stop it. I think it's one of the coolest feelings in the world to literally feel someone just like over you, and you're just holding them and you're not bend pressing them. Like, I don't know what it is.
It's skeletal
like,
frames.
Yeah, it's just like all
it's jiu-jitsu.
What is, it's not adrenaline, but like when
dopamine?
Yeah, it's like a dopamine effect for me where I'm just like, I'm holding this person here.
You get the same feeling that you would get if you submit someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just by doing that.
Yep. And that's also a good way to enter into light locks.
Yes. Which is.
But you're not going to do that to brand new white belt.
I've been knee barring my belt.
Can't knee bar white belts.
I let it go. I never do it. Most of the time, they don't even know I'm doing it. I just show myself it's there and then I move on. I did knee bar Ian today, though.
He's a green belt. He's not a white belt. Mm-hmm. Plus, he claims he's a leg locker, so we must show him over and over how much better we are at leg locking than he is.
But, yes. Yeah. So then when Tim showed the empty half guard one where you can get into the knee bar, it was not the same thing, but it was like roughly the same movements of turning yourself with moving their hips and things. And so I really mm-hmm. liked that one, too.
Yeah, that was a good move. What do you do when you roll with brand new white belts that are much bigger than you?
Take their back.
I just take their back.
I do.
And then sit there forever.
No, I pretty much, I just like climb all over them. I climb all over them and I slide and I like to do the whole like keeping your hands behind your back and putting your chest on their back and like spinning around them really quick and girding your hooks and then pulling them back. I do it all the time. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. What I really like to do to big, big new white belts is I like to put their knees together and slide over their knees, like literally a slide. And that's how I pass their guard and go in the mount. And then I'll push them
like
up.
Like a baseball slide pass?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I'll push them up. And then they'll want to sit up. And then as soon as they do, that's when they'll like fly.
Take their back.
Fly and take their back.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite things.
With brand new white belts, that's when I use closed guard the most.
Okay.
Because they're always trying to, you know, lean forward and smash. Mm-hmm. And I will close guard with them. And then I'll put my feet on their hips. And then I'll either do an immediate butterfly sweep or a scissor sweep, knee shield type stuff.
Yep.
But the intensity that I have with brand new white belts is I just create angles. Because they always, brand new white belts just want to drive forward. Mm-hmm. That's all they got. Move forward and smash. So I use their energy and I push them off to the side. And get off to the side myself, and then they either give me their back, or they give me immediate sweeps, and then I just roll around them and show them how effortlessly I can move, versus how much effort they're putting into the roll. And the reason I do that is to show them that jiu-jitsu is a gentle art in that way, where the brand new white belt, especially if they're bigger than me, they're trying so hard to hold me down, and I just like move them. But really I'm moving myself because they're bigger than me.
Yeah.
But they have no idea what's going on, so I just like move around them like a jelly. Mm-hmm. That's just on them.
Yep.
That they can't get off, but they also can't hold me down.
Yeah. My other favorite thing to do with brand new white belts, just because it always seems to amaze them, is I will put myself in bottom side control and then I'll do a ghost escape. Yeah. I do it almost every single time I roll with someone until they know what I'm doing and they stop it. but I will constantly put myself in a ghost escape. And because I'm so quick at it, they're always just like, whoa. They're like, I had you here. No, I don't.
Yeah, that's like that toy at the arcade where you squeeze the bottom and it flies out the top of your hand. Mm-hmm. That's the ghost escape. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they try to put pressure on you and then you're like, whoop, out the back.
Yeah. I do the ghost escape not because I'm like nervous that they're going to smash me or do anything. I do it because I simply just love to see people's reactions when I do it.
I love that sweep. That reversal. Yeah, I do that and then I just get to my knees and take their back.
Yeah, pretty much. Or I'll just start back up on my knees and act like we're restarting the roll.
Yes.
Yeah. But the ghost escape is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And that's, but yeah, I would say that rolling with not even just brand new white belts, but white belts in general, I try to see how much I can get away with before they start realizing what I'm doing. Like, I'll probably try to do the same thing over and over and over to them until they stop me.
Yeah, and then they're like, wait. Mm-hmm. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
I love when white belts do that.
Yeah. Yeah, like if they're in my guard, I'll sweep them. And then I'll let them put me, I'll be in their guard, I'll pass their guard, and then I'll let them put me into a side control position or something. And then I'll get them back in my guard, and then I'll just do the whole thing again. And I just like to do that until they figure out what's going on. But I really don't go for submissions on white belts very often. Because I don't...
It's too easy.
That's mean, but...
Well, it's true. But, like, just, brand new white belts?
Yeah.
If I wanted to loop choke them every time?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like with the girls, I try really hard to just keep moving and let them know that they can keep moving. And, like, even when I put them in side control or a scarf or something, I'm never putting my pressure on. I'm always just, like, leaving enough space so that they can escape. And then when they do escape, then we just keep moving and keep the position going.
Yeah, that's what I say when I'm jelly, that they can't get off or they can't hold me down. Because mm-hmm. I move around them and, like, show them how effortlessly jiu-jitsu can allow you to control somebody mm-hmm. and control yourself. Because mm-hmm. that's really the essence of jiu-jitsu, is controlling people and controlling yourself. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, white belts, I don't submit. I mean, I do submit white belts, obviously. But, like... Only if they work themselves into an awful position where they deserve to be submitted. Right? So that way they learn I should not move that way, because that way is going to always lead to a submission. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like with a blue, a purple, or a brown belt, I'm going to try to funnel them to those positions and not give them any space to back their way out of those funnels. So that way I can actually like win those submissions. But with white belts, it's too easy to funnel them into submissions. So it's like, let them work. Because that's the only way they're going to get better.
Right. Yeah, and I would say, especially with the girls, I like to show them that this is where you can end up. This is how bad it can be. But I'll immediately let go of the pressure. And I won't tell them how to get out of it. Because, man, if there's anything that I hate, it's being told how to do something in the middle of the roll. It's like, just let me figure it out. Like, I cannot stand it. Like, if we're rolling and we're just moving and then someone's like, you know, you have to do this and you have to move your leg and do this. It's like, okay, I'm getting there. Like, let me figure it out. I don't know why. Like, unless we're drilling, I don't want to be told what to do when I'm rolling. So I always try to open up my space. I'll start arching my back a little bit to leave some space to let them, like, try to get an arm through or try to get a leg through or something. I like to give enough cues that they can do it themselves without me being like, hey, you suck. Let me tell you how to do this.
Only time I ask people to do things is when they absolutely should not do that thing. When I'm like, hey, can you just put your hand over here? And then they're like, what? And I'm like, thanks. Americana. And they're like, oh, you asshole. Yeah, you shouldn't listen to me. I'm trying to kill you right now.
That's mean.
It's super mean. It's so funny.
It is really funny right now, though, with the girls, because Ellie, our purple belt instructor on Tuesday nights, she's been teaching the females how to do wrist locks. Which is super funny because white belts can't do wrist locks in most competitions. But
my hand's been sore for like 3 weeks from not tapping to a wrist lock on time when I should have.
But the girls have now been playing around with wrist locks, which is fun. It's awesome. I think it's cool that they're actually like exploring and doing things. But it's funny because they always try to wrist lock me. And I'm like, you don't know how many times I've been wrist locked by Ellie. It's not going to work for you. I'm sorry. And then I'll just turn it around and I'll go and wrist lock them the exact same way. And they're like, you brat. And I'm like, try to that do it to me.
That is fun when someone tries to submit you with something and then you do it back to them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God.
Yep.
That's so rude.
I did it to Susie and Alexis today because they both tried to wrist lock me. And then I just was like, you punk. And then I took their back, I turned it around, and then I wrist locked them in the exact same way that they tried to wrist lock me.
She's a bully. Look at her.
They learned.
She grabbed my one toe. Just tried to rip it right off.
They learned, though. But no, I think it's good. Because that's the other thing, too, is that I hated feeling like everything I was doing was just getting shut down and defeated. So, like, the way that's true. I did it to them were, like, they tried to wrist lock me, and then it didn't work, so I did it to them. Just to show them, like, it still does work. Like, I wanted them to know, like, what you were doing was going to work. You just had to set it up a different way type of thing.
Sure.
And that's kind of, like, my mentality on it is, like, you don't suck.
It's like the devil's way of showing them that they were doing the right thing. That's just, you know. I don't know if they get that.
No, probably not. But then they at least know that wrist locks are everywhere. They are open. They can work from the spot that you were trying. It's just, you won't get it on me yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
It is kind of rude, but
it's fun though.
Yeah.
That's jujitsu.
Yeah. And they're my friends. It's not like I would just go to another gym of people that I don't know and just go try to like smash everyone. Like, that's just rude.
Yeah.
But no, they're two training partners that I work with every week, so it's fine. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so to get the most out of your rolling, pick a goal for your week and or for a certain period of time, mm-hmm. right? Figure out what you want to do with higher ranked people with that goal, with lower ranked people, and with similarly ranked people.
Analyze how you roll with those people and why you roll that way.
Right. And, you know, try things like tap early, tap often for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I have been tapped out by every rank this week. I've been tapped out by white belts. I don't know if I haven't rolled with enough blue belts. By purple belts, by brown belts, and by black belts this week. Because I'm trying a whole bunch of things that I don't normally try.
That's it? That's all you gotta say?
Well, about that, I'm trying to think more. So yeah, pick your intensity, which we've talked about in multiple episodes, how to get the most out of your intensities. Pick who to work specific techniques on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would
body
say...
body types.
I think you should absolutely roll with everyone. I think that each person will give you a lesson. And I think I was thinking about that today too, about how, you know how whenever you're done with rolling with someone, you always slap bump or you just say like, thank you for your time or your roll or whatever. And like after they leave, like you're
thank
still
you for your time. I'm going to do that now. Thank you for your time today.
But even after the rolling is like long over and people are starting to leave, you always say like, thanks for the rolls. Like that's how we do it, right? Like, we always say thank you for literally taking the time to roll with me. Like, you didn't have to, and you did, so I appreciate it. And I was wondering about that today. Like, that's a really weird thing that we do. Like, thanks for the rolls. But then as I was thinking about it, I'm like, but, like, you really are learning something from everyone that you roll with.
Every time.
Whether you're getting smashed or dominating the match, like, it doesn't really matter. You're still getting something out of it. And even mm-hmm. if it doesn't feel like it, you're probably taking away stuff, like, way deep in that memory of yours. That will eventually help you out in the future.
Deep in that lizard brain.
Right.
Something is clicking.
So I love to say thanks for the rolls because even if it doesn't feel like it at the time, I definitely do get stuff out of every roll.
And thank you always for your time. Better.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
But
yeah, I mean, they showed up. They put in their effort with you mm-hmm. to roll. Whether, like you said, whether you dominated, whether they dominated, you both are getting something out of it. Mm-hmm. Don't be that person at the gym that shows up and turns into a anti-jujitsu ball that does nothing. Just don't be that person.
Yeah.
Don't be a clam. Clams are not good at jujitsu because they don't do jujitsu.
They don't have legs.
They don't have legs. Yeah, and if you just sit there with your elbows tight in a prayer mode with your knees tight and you just like ball up, nobody's learning.
You're not going to get much out of it. But, yeah, I would just say, if you didn't get anything else out of this, I would say just analyze the way that you roll with different people and why you roll mm-hmm. with them the way that you do. Doesn't matter if they're day one white belt, 20-year black belt, maybe a 5-year purple belt. Like, it really, it doesn't matter. Like, just why do you roll with them the way that you do?
And then pick a goal. Mm-hmm. Put in the comments today what your goal is for this week.
Yeah. You struggled with that.
Yeah.
Like we said, we're going to be in Green Bay next weekend, so I don't know if we'll get to a podcast. If we do, it'll probably come out either late Sunday night or Monday. So just be on the lookout for that. And if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Yes. Have a great week. Appreciate of training, you guys.